views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Well, welcome to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I'm going to be talking today to Relena Renee. She's the author of In the Arms of the Spiral. It's a novel. Now, we've had her on the show before, but that was for her other book, Choices for Joy. She's been a presenter at Woman of Wisdom, and she is a spiritual healer, teacher, and storyteller, traveled her own path of resurrecting the divine within from the cultural expectations of overgiving and over-responsibility, and we all know that one, don't we? Her deep desire to serve had to be balanced by revealing and celebrating the sacred feminine. So tapping into what brought her joy was the key that helped her follow the trail of her true path and purpose. And she now weaves this joy with her gifts of healing, teaching, and storytelling. And she understands how to use her gifts to serve in a way that truly serves her own spirit. So that's quite a model for us. We all need to be, you know, practicing that, right, Lena?
Yeah, I'm suddenly feeling pressure.
No.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a learning process, you know, and I know, you know, we all kind of struggle with it. We have good days with it and other days where we're still working it out.
Absolutely.
Well, tell us your story, how you became a healer. And on this particular interview, let's talk about you as a storyteller.
Yeah. Well, I am very Irish. Grew up with a lot of storytelling in the family. My mom is Irish, my dad's German, but he's also a very good storyteller. So I kind of grew up with it. And as I became a teacher, I taught at a massage school. I taught in churches for various workshops and such. And I always really felt drawn to using story to talk about things rather than saying, this is how it works. I would say, here's the story, and then we talk about what happened in the story. So it's an inherited gift, one that I grew up with and that I thoroughly enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Well, your first book was a self-help book, Choices for Joy.
Yes.
So why did you write a novel?
Well, it's interesting because it actually started out as a very personal project. I had one of those moments of like, I am very discontented in my life. And it was sort of sudden it came upon me, but it was this, you know how you have those moments where things are going along and all of a sudden you're just like, yeah, this isn't what I want to do. And then the next question for me is, well, what is it that you want to do? And I didn't know. And so I like writing, and I thought I will use it as a process to discern, to try to figure out, and then also to like write the life that I want to live, to kind of try it on. And so that's how the novel began. It was about 4 years ago. It was more a piece of personal magic. And as I started writing, it took off, and these characters sort of came on stage, and this story evolved that moved from the personal to you know, to the collective. And it's interesting as I look back at the story, you know, every time you edit it, you reread it, or, you know, it was, I was flipping through it when I got my first copy in my hand and, you know, just for, just to flip through it. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh yeah, And so the book actually ended up teaching me about kind of the process of discerning in this at this level, but also more about who I am, because the characters came up and into the story as mirrors. Not sure if that quite makes sense. And through the writing of it in the story, I made her myself initially a teacher and a storyteller, and she was a writer. And that's what I am now. So it manifested into, you know, a life that I wanted to live. But it also took off in this other direction.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know in the preface, you talk about the story starting out as a piece of personal magic, and it's kind of what you're talking about. So what was that personal magic? And obviously the magic worked because you got the book done.
Well, the magic initially was not about getting the book done. Uh-huh. But if any of you who deal with magic know that magic has a way of, you know, going its own way for a while before it comes back and goes, oh, here's what you wanted. You know, I wanted a new life and a new way to do my work in the world. I was working with individual clients, and I was actually giving away too much of myself in my community with a lot of volunteer work and such. And so going into that writer place helped me find a rhythm that I like. I really like writing. I like the, you know, alone in a room by myself, and then I go out into the world for a while, and then I come back. And I like engaging with the characters. And so the magic in it, you know, it took me to all of that knowing and that discernment process, and then ended up giving me a life as a writer, which is not something I actually anticipated. So that, yeah, so I guess the book, although I wasn't initially attempting to write a book, I was just using it as a process for figuring out what was next for me.
Well, that's great. It evolved. And so let's talk about the meaning of the title, In the Arms of the Spiral.
Yeah. So I work with clients a lot doing spiritual healing, life coaching, that sort of thing. And then my own personal work and the work we've done with Women of Wisdom. And it just, you know, we have this, you know, where there might be an issue in our lives and we work through it and we think we're done. And then a year later, 6 months later, 10 years later, it comes back around. We're like, I thought I was done with this. And I think that we aren't done with it at that level, but it comes back around to teach us. And I think that we see that in our own personal lives, but I think it also happens across time and across our lives, that we have particular work to do in the world, and we keep getting these chances in the spiral. You know, it keeps coming around to the same place. Might be a different rung, but it's on the same side of the spiral. And then we just get that chance to engage with it again, and also engage with other people who are in the spiral. I think that we incarnate with the same people, not exactly the same people all the time, but with these soul groups. And so we're in this dance that just feels like this lovely spiral, and we keep going around, and it's not exactly the same place, but it's on the same side. And there's deeper teachings and deeper knowings and places to really explore ourselves.
Yes, I love the image of a spiral, and I love doing that in art or in, you know, collage. And there's something, in a way, magical about it, because it's not linear, and life isn't linear. As much as we try to make it and think it's linear, it's really not, mm-hmm. just as you described.
Yes. I love to do this exercise with students where I have them imagine holding something very precious in their hand, and then I have them walk a line, and it's like, when I tell you, you have to drop it. And so they drop it, and they have to keep going. And then I ask them how they feel about it, and it's like, well, you know, it's lost. And then I have them do exactly the same exercise, but we do it in a circle. And it's just such a different feeling because, you know, I dropped it, but this thing is coming back around on itself. There will be another chance for me to pick that up or to find that or engage with that. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the book. One, how do you... I would imagine people see you a little bit in the main character, Colleen. So wondering how much of the book is autobiographical.
The book, there's several pieces in the book. Like I said, I started writing it as myself. And my birth name is Colleen Renee. And I love the piece in the book where she's doing the work with the young women. And she asks them to talk about the meaning of their names. And so I'd written this part, and Colleen means little haglet or little wise woman, or haglet in training. And then Renee is reborn. And it just so describes who I am. I'm always kind of reframing myself and, you know, redoing my work to send it out in the world in different ways. So it really fit, and it really fit the character. And I tried to change the name after I knew the book was no longer a personal book about me. And it just wouldn't let me do it. It's like I tried three or four times, and I changed the name, and I even looked up names that kind of meant the same sort of thing, and it just would have nothing to do with it. It wouldn't allow it. And so I just let go, and I changed the name because it isn't me. So I changed the name to be different than my name. And then over the last few weeks, I've really discovered that when I'm doing the writing, I kind of thought I was like channeling these characters and this information that was coming up. And now it feels to me more like I actually go into this other world where they exist. So there's some overlap, but it's only incidental, like the story of my name in it, that the rest of it is fictional.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you can build on that. So, you know, I think a lot of writers probably build on their life, but then becomes a novel because they're, you know, they are writing a novel, but, you know, I imagine you find pieces of yourself in there that helps create that main character. And I think it's probably important to make it a little bit different than yourself because it's not an autobiography.
It is not an autobiography. Yeah.
And what about and I know we're going to be going on a break in a second, but it's also a magical book and a little bit of fantasy, I would imagine. But we're going to come back and talk more about the book and go into some of the themes in it. It's about circles. It's about past lives. It's a very exciting novel. So stay tuned, and we'll come back and talk more with Lena Renee.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
When your body is awakened, your spirit comes alive. Dana Canetto is a transformational guide, embodiment coach, and spiritual mentor assisting women in realigning with their truth and embodying who they are by connecting to the wisdom of their body. Tune in every month on Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show Network for Body Divinity Radio with Dana Canetto. For more information on Dana and her services, visit danacanetto.com. That's danacanetto.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to the hit show, Mouthing Off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
Are you ready to thread your life with intuition? Intuit Apparel can help you do just that. This is not just about a piece of clothing. This is about a movement, an awakening, and staying centered in life. Your life. Intuitive and host of the radio show Get Into It, Lynn Brown, was given this image with the intention of a clothing line designed to represent the essence of life itself. Visit intuitapparel.com now and wear your intuition with pride.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis, and I'm talking to Relena Renee today, author of In the Arms of the Spiral. So as I said, I know you have some themes in the book, but one of the things that I remember is it seems like whenever she met with somebody or gathered with people, they were having tea. Is there a significance of that? Is it sort of a ritual or, you know?
Yes, there's several things about the tea. One, it's a very Celtic tradition, and I teach from a Celtic tradition, so, you know, there must be tea. And in my life, there's a lot of tea. Because there's so many different kinds of teas, so from an herbalist perspective, like Charles in the book, is often brewing different kinds of teas depending on the situation and what the person might need. So tea has that aspect. But mostly it's the ritual and that all of the elements are present. You know, there's the pot that is the earth, you know, and the water. And then, you know, the fire that heats the water and the scent of the tea that you're putting in it, you know, is the air. And all of that together coming together in spirit and steeping. And so the ritual itself and all of those elements, particularly for this circle, they know that, so every time they're making tea, they're also acknowledging the elements and acknowledging their spiritual natures and their allies, that there are allies that they work with. And tea is good.
And when you say allies, what do you mean for our audience? They may not know.
Oh, yes. Specifically, I'm talking about the elemental allies, air, and, you know, for Charles in the book, Crow is a big ally for him. So when he's thinking about air, then naturally his allies of the Crow are there. So those kind of allies, nature allies. And just that the universe and all its aspects, earth, air, fire, spirits, water, are with us, that they're part of our family, that they're actually here to support us. So it's this ritual that is a reminder, and because they do it so often, it's this comfort and this trust. And if you're sharing a cup of tea, a pot of tea with someone, it's sacred.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. And you know, sometimes I bring up my mom's china, and there's something different. You know, when I pour hot water or tea into a china cup, I find it tastes better, you know, the bone in the china. And it's kind of interesting because I've talked to other people and they go, yeah, but, you know, I just wanted to sit down and have tea. Actually, when you were talking, I was just remembering a tea blend I put together of different herbs and the scent of it. And I'm going, I'm going to make this after the show's over.
Good. Yeah. I'm going to actually do a short video on why do they drink so much tea? And that'll probably be up next week or so.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about, because you've mentioned it, circles. And so it's a vital part of the story. The people come together in circle. So let's talk about your views on the significance of the circle and in the book.
Yeah, so circles, when I'm talking about circles, I just like to define that a little bit because it is, there is an intention in the circle. In different circles, there can be any number of intentions. You can have the, fantasy football. You know, that's a circle. That's an intention. So there does need to be an intention. It's not just people who seem to be gathering and sitting around. And for me, it's about this place that's safe and sacred and a place where you're actually witnessed And that witnessing is very powerful because we don't get witnessed in our life very often anymore. And so to just have this circle of people who see you, who see who you are, and witness that without judgment, but also reflect back who you are. So in the story, there's a number of points where Kayleen, the main character, where the circle calls her on things. And like, we've seen this. Is this really what you want? And she resists that at times, and other times she just knows that that is true. And the circle, the sacred safety of it, allows you to do the resistance or to choose, like, is this really mine or is this, you know, somebody else in the circle projecting? But there's just that safety. And in this book, the circle is a very mature circle. You know, they've been together for like 10 years. So there's an intimacy and a trust level that's very, very sweet and very special. In the next book, there's some new characters, so you know, there's some more messiness. But yeah, that sense of circle, that place where we can try out who we are. We can try new things. We can get courage. People lovingly call us on things, that sort of thing. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. And I was saying, well, now, wasn't Kayleen new to that circle?
No, it was her circle.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was a while ago.
So it was her and her four students who had been working together for like a decade. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so important. I mean, you mentioned, you know, the witnessing and having the safety that, you know, this, it takes a lot of years of building that trust. They've been together 10 years. That's builds that trust so that you can lovingly confront people or. And also, I love it when you said, well, and also know if someone's is projecting on you. Because, you know, we know that happens a lot. Everybody can probably relate to that. And it's kind of maddening, like, what? That's not me. And we get defensive and just discerning, like, okay, what of this is me and what is it about them? Because there's probably a little bit in there, you know, and it's a mix. But still, it's a lot of work, but it's very encouraging to be in a circle. It's very, enlightening and fulfilling in a way. There's that satisfaction. Yeah. And when you leave, you come away feeling more energized about things. And especially if you're able to be honest with people and really share who you are. And so that's that.
They also, you know, really over that many of years know each other's gifts and talents. So there's several places in the book where it's like, I need you to do this because you have the most, in one place, Lawrence, he's not as attached as everybody else. So he's the one who gets to lead putting the pieces together. And so because they know each other and they can trust each other, they can step into those roles and they can claim those. And
Well, that brings me to that, yes, you mentioned the gifts of the characters, and it's real obvious in the book, and they're being asked, this is your gift, so we want you to do this, but there's also sometimes it seems like it comes at a cost to them.
Yeah. Yes, and, you know, it's interesting, because when I was writing it, I was like, I don't want to make people afraid. But the truth is, no matter what your gift is, whether it's, you know, in music or in finance or, you know, the bigger the gift you have and the more you engage with it, the more it can challenge you. But I believe, and it's my personal experience, that the joy of the gift absolutely outweighs the challenges of the gift. And at the same time, like Kayleen's struggle is that she has basically not paid much attention to her personal life because she's been the teacher, the healer, the writer, and that's where she spent her energy and development. And in the book, she kind of realizes how lonely she is. And so then, you know, she's looking at those challenges, too. I think they sharpen our skills. They also invite us to reevaluate. It's like, wait, for a while I really needed to focus on developing these gifts, but do I still need to put that much time and energy in? Or is it more beneficial to balance my life out a bit? And so that's her struggle throughout the story, is how do I balance my calling, and for her it's definitely a calling, with the other aspects of life, a personal life, a love interest, you know, just hanging out with friends.
Mm-hmm. And so also that brought me up to, she is portrayed in the book as a witch healer, and mm-hmm. she gave up most of her life to that craft. So what you're talking about is that balance, that she realized she needed that balance. But so if people are interested in exploring a pagan lifestyle, is that something that they need to be aware of, or is that going to, you know, take over their life of, in a way?
I really think it doesn't matter what it is, that there's that potential. If something's calling you very strongly, and I think culturally we have this all or nothing perspective, like we have to give it our all or we have to leave it. And I think that really affected Kayleen in the book as well. And then when you get to a maturity and you start noticing that you're lonely, or that, you know, this part of your life isn't really very fulfilling, or this is just taking too much, that's when you have to ask those questions. So I would say no, don't anticipate that, you know, stepping into or finding out more about a pagan lifestyle will require so much that you will be unhealthy. In fact, my sense of it really is, because a pagan lifestyle is so earth-centered, it's so nature-centered, that probably you will find yourself moving into more balance just because you're going to be engaging with the natural world more.
Yes, that's so true. And we're going to talk more about, I want to get into that nature element when we come back from our break.
Okay.
And and also about the past lives. There's a huge thing in your book about the past lives, and we're going to get into that. So everybody stay tuned, and we'll come back and talk more with C. Relena Renee, who's the author of In the Arms of the Spiral.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Thrive is what we experience when our mind, body, and soul operate as one. When we thrive, we excel on all levels. Thrive is the mindset that matters. It is essential to our being. Have you ever found yourself looking for the instruction manual on how to thrive? You'll find everything you need to help you feel strong, powerful, and peaceful in your own body. So don't waste any more time. Visit ThriveByJen.com today.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Are you looking for the perfect setting for your next workshop or retreat? At Spirit Fire Meditative Retreat Center, cultivating consciousness is what we do best. Our guests count on us to create an atmosphere that supports serenity and well-being. We lead from the heart and create space for the mind. Freshly prepared meals designed with local and organic ingredients, 95 acres of beautiful woods and pastures, and a facility built with green in mind. This is what you'll find at Spirit Fire. For more information, visit SpiritFireRetreatCenter.com.
We're back on Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and I'm speaking with Relena Renee. We've been talking about her book of In the Arms of the Spiral. So, Lena, can you give your website where people can find more information about you and about the book and other things that you do?
I would be happy to. So my website is C, Relena, that's R-H-A-L-E-N-A, Renee, R-E-N-E-E.com, crelena.com. And I have a blog and such, but if you go to that site, it will lead you to the other various features. And you can also find me on Facebook.
Great. So, and you, besides your writing novels, you're teaching in other areas too. And I imagine there's things in your website about that.
Yes, it's the summer, so we've finished most everything, and I'm creating some new things. But I do have some events. We're doing a solstice celebration this week, and so the events will be on the page.
Right, and for people to know, she lives in Eastern Washington in the town of Ellensburg, and so if you happen to be in that area, check her out. So as I said, one of the major themes in the book is about past lives, and it seems like you have characters they've been touched by. Well, they were touched by an event that happened centuries ago, and so you read about there's sort of this imbalance and this ripple, and it's kind of mysterious in a way of like what happened, but through the generations and they've come together, is a chance to be healed. So let's talk about how past lives impact current lives and your characters. And
yeah, so in the book specifically, yes, generations ago, there were three who they basically came to a conflict and they didn't resolve it. And that rippled out, and it rippled out through their families. And there have been several times throughout the generations where there was potential to heal it. And in the story, this is a very potent potential for healing. This is a place where they all come together again on the spiral. So Kayleen starts receiving these dreams about this time and doesn't know what to do with them until these other characters show up and the story emerges. And there's a little girl whose life is at stake because of the imbalance. I don't want to give too much away here.
No.
Yeah. Past lives are, I think that most of us have felt them in some way. It can be that, a visceral response to something that you have never had any experience with. Or you meet someone and you're like, wow, I know this person. And then there can be, I know in my life, I was with this man for a while. And even from the beginning, I was like, what am I doing with this man? But I couldn't set boundaries very well with him. After the relationship was ended, it just didn't end until finally my guide said, you need to do a journey. And I journeyed, and there was this past life, and the door was still open. And so our interactions in this time, in my lifetime, current lifetime, were actually more based on that lifetime, which we had shared, which was really good. And it was really difficult until I closed the door to that past life. And then, once I had done that and was aware of it, then I could go, okay, done. But there are also, I met a woman once who's like, I don't know why, but I've always been drawn to Asian things. always been drawn to Asian things. So they show up in interesting ways in our life, and sometimes we're not even aware of them. We draw people to us that have the same, that might be a soul group. They have the same purposes, life purposes. And I really think it comes from this. I really believe the universe is incredibly abundant and really wants to play with us. It wants to do this co-creative thing. And so here we are wandering around finding each other so we can create things together. And that often comes through past life experiences.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned this relationship, and it's kind of, you know how sometimes you get kind of hooked with people in not necessarily a positive way, and you can't seem to find like how to unhook this. Well, maybe it's unhealthy, you know, reaction. You might have somebody you have reactions with. And if you dig and understand where that person's coming from and where you're coming from, I mean, sometimes you have to get down to the core in order to unhook and release so that you're not always reacting to this person.
Yes. My very first specific experience with past life is I had a client on the table doing massage. And I was working on a particular area, and she just started, like, talking in a different voice, and her face looked a little different. And so I just started asking her questions. And she had come in that day talking about how her relationship with her mother was really difficult, and how she was tired of it. And she organically moved through these three past lives with her mother. And the very first one, they had been, these little girls in these cotton, like English girl dresses with parasol, floating down the Amazon, and her sister, who was her mother in this lifetime, fell over and was eaten by piranhas. And she was so stunned, she didn't know what to do, and she did nothing. And so the spirits suggested that we go back to that time and have her extend her parasol, which she did, and her sister mother still died. But it was a different story for her. She didn't die without anybody trying to help her, right? And so this was, again, the first time it happened for me in a session. And so the client went home, and she didn't do anything about it. She didn't call her mother. She called me a week later and was telling me that her mother sent her a letter, which she never does. And it was like this 2-3-page letter talking about how she really wanted to, change the relationship and how much she loved her. And it was like, wow. And for me, that was the first time that I really got that going back and healing these things in the past actually has effect in the present. And healing things in the present can actually heal things back in the lineage as well. It's very powerful work.
Yes. And sometimes you sort of doubt, like, okay, was that real? Did that really happen? Did my mother die being eaten by piranhas? But you know what? It doesn't really matter, because there's something energetically there that's getting released of,
Yes. And oftentimes spirits and dreams speak to us in metaphor rather than actuality. So you're right. It doesn't matter as long as we get the message.
Right.
Action. Yes.
Yeah. So you feel it's important to be aware of these past life influences. How do you get someone started who has no idea of touching into a past life?
Yeah, I don't really think we should go digging around. I think that's like stirring a pot that probably doesn't need to be stirred. In my experience with clients and then with myself, it's like if it's time for that to be brought up, it will find its way into your consciousness some way. Like this person coming in talking about, her mother, and then body work that accessed the memories. It will happen organically, I think, for the most part. And when I'm working with clients, I've seen it enough that there's a particular resonance, a vibration to a past life issue. And so if I'm feeling that, then I will ask them some questions and then, invite them, should we do some past life work? It's generally right on and very helpful.
Mm-hmm. It's helpful. I mean, look, the example of the woman, she came back, a week later that her mother had written her, and it's hard to understand those things, but it's like when you release that energy and it sounds like letting go of some guilt and shame, it allows for healing to come forward.
It absolutely does. And I also, when we're thinking that strongly about somebody, they're with us. There's a part of them that is with us. So there's a part of them that knows something has shifted. And then they have that invitation to respond differently as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it's great. And sometimes it doesn't happen till, I mean, you were talking about parents, it can happen after they've passed away. You can still do this work. And because the energy of our parents, even though they're not in this world anymore, we hang on to those energies.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I want to shift just in this last bit in this segment, as one of the characters is kind of a new person coming into the circle, James, who's an undercover cop. And so it just, you know, sort of adds some twists to the plot and all that. But why is his character important?
Well, it's funny because when he showed up, I was like, an undercover cop? What am I going to do with you? And him and his friend Ben, who is an investment banker type, I think that they showed up in the story to, in some ways, represent like the mainstream masculine, you know, kind of the way of the world. And then, you know, engaging with this other way of being in the world. And James is very open-minded, and he was an undercover cop. So one of his gifts was learning very quickly how to integrate himself in a group and also figure out who was who and what they were doing, which is very much the same sort of skill set as a witch healer would use. It's like, what's in the field? What's going on? Who are the allies? You know, what is the situation here? How do we proceed? So they, you know, he kind of steps forth from this pretty mainstream approach, and they find this commonality and that they're really not that different. So I think he's important in the story for that reason in itself, that it's a skill set applied differently. And then also he's this incredibly open-minded, open-hearted guy. So, and he steps into this circle, and it answers a hunger that he didn't even know he had for deep friendship and for connection. Because as an undercover cop, he really did not have that. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like what you said about, you know, so here having someone mainstream, because a mainstream person doesn't always get people who are into Wicca or pagan ceremonies and rituals and all that. And usually that, you know, they stay away from that. And so although he was open-minded, you could see his struggles with that of, you know, it was all foreign to him, but to bring, you know, it's because we tend to stick around in our life with, our like-minded people, and bringing new people in and people from different, backgrounds really enriches our life. Well, we're going to take another break. So stay tuned. We'll come back and talk more with Relena Renee, author of In the Arms of the Spiral.
Are you ready to thread your life with intuition? Intuit Apparel can help you do just that. This is not just about a piece of clothing. This is about a movement, an awakening, and staying centered in life. Your life. Intuitive and host of the radio show Get Into It, Lynn Brown, was given this image with the intention of a clothing line designed to represent the essence of life itself. Visit intuitapparel.com now and wear your intuition with pride.
Brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the RAD Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, Morgan.com, or call 206-972-5366.
Discover the healing medicine from the giant monkey tree frog Cambo. Cambo practitioner Ginny Rutherford and professional psychic Todd Rolson have come together for lively discussions of alternative healing medicines from the Amazon. Ginny and Todd bring you Cambo Talk Radio. Tune in each Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific to hear from guests all over the world with real life stories and the medicinal benefits of Cambo. For more information, visit CamboKiss.com. Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life. Each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis, and we're talking with the author of In the Arms of the Spiral with Relena Renee. And so, Lena, this show, you know, I'm all about voices of women and women of wisdom. So let's talk about how your book speaks to the feminine or encouraging women's voices, which, of course, for both of us, I know is very important.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, it is. You know, for me, the feminine really is, you know, about that mystery and nature, and allowing, you know, differences. Like, things don't have to be neat and tidy. Things are a little messy. I think for me, the feminine really is in that forest grove, you know, in the circle where, you know, the trees have been there and they have witnessed, you know, circles and rituals and teachings, you know, over the years, and how they just hold that space and that energy. And there is, you know, there's a scene in there where there's a little threatened, you know, they feel threatened and how they respond, but as a group. But they don't respond in a warlike way, but just sort of, caution, be aware. And so I think the feminine voice of allowing ourselves to really be present with each other, that heart-to-heart connection, you know, as we talked earlier about the circle. I think the circle is an absolute brilliant metaphor for the feminine, and that holding each other, that allowing each other the space to grow, to test ourselves, to be held, to be called. It's very juicy. And then the nature, for me, you know, the mystery in nature. And Ellen, who is a woman of the crossroads, shows up in the book several times. She's in another realm. And she has, you know, this wisdom across time and across space, and this ability to palpate what's on the web from different perspectives and discern what is of the essence in terms of now, what needs to be done. And then Kayleen's journey herself in how do I move through this world answering my calling in ways that are not mainstream? How do I stay true to who I am? How do I speak to people when they call me names, when they challenge me, when they diss my work? You know, how do I stand in my power and speak my truth without making them bad and wrong? You know, just standing in my power. So I think those themes run through.
Yes, and that's so important because we face that a lot where we just step back and then we don't, you know, women's we tend to step back and not speak up for ourselves, or we're thrown and like, what do I say in that, in this situation? And that's where circles help, because we empower each other. And it's good. You mentioned before practice, like in circles, we can practice speaking what we believe, who we are, and feel heard by everybody else. And we go out in the world, we have that more confidence.
Yeah.
Yes. And self-esteem with that. And so that, you know, so, and it's, you know, we're beyond the time, although it still happens and a lot of people are still dealing with it, especially in work. It's part of our, I think, corporate culture of competing and women putting each other down. And it's, you know, this, and I think now many of us are saying, this has got to stop. And,
and
how we stop that is speaking up.
I very consciously made two particular characters, Jen, who's a woman, but she has a very well-developed masculine side. And Charles, who's a man, has a very developed feminine side. So I really wanted to, showcase that in terms of, you know, there's a lot of ways to be in the world. And we really can embrace the feminine side and the masculine side, no matter what gender we happen to show up as.
Right. Yeah. And it's okay. I mean, sometimes somebody was at a WOW circle recently and she says, oh, I'm kind of linear. I feel like I'm coming in with my masculine. And I go, no, you have a gift. You have this gift for this aspect. You bring to the circle and other people have their gifts. And, you know, we honor that. It doesn't have to be negative that you come with these masculine traits and you're feminine, and you're a woman and you're in this woman's circle. It's not gender. It's, you know, the masculine is not wrong for being in the correct masculine of in that leadership role. It's when we go into our incorrect or imbalanced places or things get messed up.
The feminine out of balance is not any prettier than the masculine out of balance.
Yes, and we all know, and we can all probably picture experiences where we've had that, and I mean that's where the competition and the sometimes dynamics between women happen is that feeling betrayed. And betrayal is an old thing. I think it's something carried in our DNA, but that when many of us have experienced betrayal from another woman, and that causes
why I think circle work is so important, because it heals that betrayal.
Well, let's talk about, because you mentioned it, even in this whole thing around the feminine and circles, is communicating with nature. And that was another important aspect in your book.
I could do a dissertation on this, so let me see if I can keep this kind of brief. I think that generally speaking, culturally, we've been taught that we are separate from nature, when we really are very much a part of nature. And if we carry that sense of being a part of nature, then suddenly we have all of these allies. And I'm not suggesting, you know, that we go out to the savannah in Africa and walk up to a lion and say, hey, I'm sure you're my ally. I'm not suggesting that. But what I am suggesting is that there is incredible help all around us, and that plant allies and animal allies show up for us on a regular basis. And if we can learn to pay attention, we can engage with them and learn to trust the messages that they give us, and the help that they bring us, and that can show up in any number of ways. What I usually like to tell people is, like, you know, if you go outdoors and there's an animal who approaches you in an odd way, in a different way. Like one day, I was driving down the freeway, and an eagle came to my window and flew along my car. Now, that is a very unusual thing for an eagle to do. So I would very gratefully accept that medicine and that gift from the eagle, and then think about what is it that this eagle, you know, what is the eagle about? You know, what is eagle asking me to look at? As a writer, spiders are in my life all the time, and that is one of the gifts that they bring is writing and noticing what's on the web, those sorts of things. So there's just so many ways to engage with nature One of my favorite things is when I'm stuck in my life is I'll go to a place where there's a bridge over a stream, and I look upstream, and upstream is a metaphor for my life so far. And I just, like, look at the banks and, you know, look at the rocks and the smooth places and kind of like, you know, like, what is this telling me about my life? And then the bridge that I'm standing on is the moment in time. And then I turn and I look downstream for messages of the future. And I think if you work too hard at any of these things, you won't get it. You just kind of have to do this soft vision, allowing whatever wants to come and speak to your heart to speak to you. And it can be incredibly comforting. There are times when I feel totally lost in the world and, you know, I will go and talk to a tree. I know that's kind of a joke, but I will. I'll go and talk to a tree. All kinds of comfort and information and they're also better from it because of the engagements. Second book talks a lot more about that.
So, well, and we're at the end of our show. So, but I encourage everybody to check out Lena's new book, In the Arms of the Spiral, and go to her website, C-R-H-A-L-E-N-A, C-R-H-A-L-E-N-A, Renee.com. C-R-H-A-L-E-N-A, Renee.com is her website. So check it out. So, well, I hope we're at the end of the show now, and I hope everybody has a fabulous weekend. Be sure to check out my book, Woman of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women, and you can read about it at the website, womanofwisdom.org. It supports Women of Wisdom. And also check out our events on our website. We have circles in the Seattle area, drum circles, elder circles, and we're going to be developing more circles in the future. So check that out at womanofwisdom.org. Well, everybody have a great weekend and solstice, and we'll be talking to you next week.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Stainis.